welcome along to this week's Assists, brought to you in conjunction with Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I'm joined by Dan Childs and James Milton, who is a more than capable stand-in for Mark Langdon, who's away in the Far East at the moment. And after another busy midweek of European action, the games continue to come thick and fast in both the Premier League and the EFL, and we'll be trying to mark your card as to the best bets for this weekend's action. And we'll start off, as ever, with the big match. The pick of the games in the Premier League is certainly the match at the Etihad Stadium on Sunday afternoon, the Manchester derby between Manchester City and United. Kickoff is at 4:30 on Sunday. And certainly plenty to talk about in terms of these two teams. As far as the betting is concerned, well, City are around about 4-7 to claim the victory. It's 17-4 United and the draw 7-2. Milts, we'll start with you with this one. Let's start firstly with the home side there, Manchester City. Another disappointing result in Europe in midweek, and more questions than answers, it would seem, for Pep Guardiola at this stage.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, I think the worrying thing for them is that they're not exactly losing to teams who are really in great form. You know, obviously Liverpool apart, that was always going to be a tough game at Anfield. But, you know, they've got hammered at home by Tottenham, who've then gone on to take 1 point from three games. You know, Juventus have been really struggling for wins and goals in recent weeks, and City struggled to lay a glove on them. So, I mean, it's an absolutely fascinating fixture. It's one of those that, as a punter, I think you almost need to kind of shut out the noise and just look at it as Team A versus Team B. Forget about the history. Forget about the names of the teams and the players. And, you know, City lost seven of their last 10. You know, they blew a 3-0 lead in another of those against Feyenoord. So there's enormous pressure on them, and yet as you mentioned, they're kind of 4-7 to win the game.
In terms of Pep Guardiola and his comments, Dan, this week, I mean, we've heard Ilkay Gundogan suggesting that it's a lack of confidence in the team at the moment. Guardiola's played that down. Again, when you start to see fractures between maybe player and manager like that, as a City fan, they will be concerned at the moment.
Yeah, I think it probably is a lack of confidence. I think it's understandable. Managers often try to sort of, limit the downsides, and they don't want to, like, put it out there themselves that their team's lacking confidence. He probably knows it himself, Guardiola, but he just doesn't want to give his players sort of any excuses, if you like, you know, going into such a big game. But, you know, Man City, for so many years, have had that kind of strut about them, haven't they? I know there's, big structural issues, especially the one with Rodri not being there. But they've had Rodri missing before, and it hasn't affected them, you know, in any way like they, you know, it has done recently. I just feel that any team, no matter who you are, once you start losing games, that belief does get affected. And, it'll be fascinating to see how they come out of it.
You can see down there, both Milton and I have gone for grey because there's a grey gloom hanging over Manchester at the moment, both sides of the city, because United have got their problems, Milts, at the moment as well. I mean, it looked like things were starting to be rosy again when Amorim was appointed. And now all of a sudden, you know, they lose at home to Nottingham Forest. We've seen Dan Ashworth leave the club in the last week, and there seems to be more problems again.
Yeah, it's almost as if there are a deeper lying problems at the club than just changing one bloke in the dugout, which, you know, United don't seem to have learned from this ever since the Sir Alex Ferguson era. We're not wearing the infamous grey kits that angered Fergie all those years ago, I should point out. They've looked a bit of a soft touch, haven't they, in those last two games against Arsenal and Forest. We're talking before that the Europa League fixture. But, yeah, I mean, from a betting perspective in this game, it's such a trappy heat, isn't it, with doubts over both sides. I was maybe looking at Josko Gvardiol to be first goal scorer. A nice kind of each-way price at 22-1. You know, United conceded three goals from set pieces against Arsenal and Forest. So that could be an area of joy for City, who, you know, as we've mentioned, are really lacking their usual fluency and from open play.
Dan, we'll come to your best bet in a moment, but I just wanted to ask you about United as well. I mean, Ruben Amorim's come in and probably thought, you know, positivity, try to get that spread around the club. Dan Ashworth goes. We're hearing suggestions on Thursday that United are putting players up for sale to try and raise funds to bring in new faces. It's hardly ideal preparation for a new manager and then for a Manchester derby.
No, I think he probably was pretty aware of a lot of the problems, you know, before he joined. But you're not going to come in and say that and you know, basically say that the players that you're inheriting are not up to the job, because you want to see if you can get that kind of short-term boost, you know, initially. Now he's had a few games. I've noticed his comments after the Nottingham Forest game. He is saying that, you know, this is going to be a, you know, obviously a long-term job, and there's going to be, you know, a lot more sort of bumpy times ahead. But I think it's a tricky situation for him, because he's got to try and not lose all of the players, you know, the support of the players that he's got, whilst realizing that you know, probably a good chunk of them he's going to have to replace in the not too distant future.
Of course, United upset the apple cart with that win in the FA Cup final last season. Can they do it again, Dan?
I'm not so sure. I mean, that FA Cup, you know, it was under everybody thought going into it that City were going to win the game easily. It was a big shock, wasn't it, that United kind of raised their game, and you know, they're under a different manager there, Manchester United. As I've mentioned, that there's not really been an improvement, has there? It's the same group of players. They've got 4 points from four games under Amorim. I mean, that's actually, you know, less in terms of an average points take than they had under Ten Hag. I watched the Forest game, and there was so much still wrong there. I mean, they looked vulnerable on the counter attack. You know, the set pieces, they were struggling. Terrible goal they conceded there from a set piece where Martinez got bullied, and they didn't really have a great deal of control of the game as well, which would be a big worry for me. City, we know, have got massive problems, you know, at the moment as well. But I just think, as Milts, James was just saying there, you boil it down, you just got to look at the teams, look at what's, you know, who's got the strengths at the moment. And City, for me, do have the better players. You've got, you know, Haaland's, you know, going to get you, obviously, goals up front. United's attack, there doesn't seem, apart from Fernandes, they've got a lot of young players that may turn into very good players, but at the moment, they're not quite there. City have got the quality for me. I don't fancy City to keep clean sheets. Their XG against is quite high. I think it's about the ninth in the Premier League at the moment. So this is where I'm going to go on this. I'm going to back City to turn it around and win the game, but to boost the price, I'm going to say City to win and both teams to score.
OK, well, just a reminder, it's a 4:30 kickoff then at the Etihad Stadium for Manchester City against Manchester United on Sunday. Time to turn our attentions now to the rest of the Premier League action. There are actually just five games taking place on Saturday due to the hectic midweek European fixture schedule, and there's no early game, so we'll go straight into the 3 o'clock games on Saturday. And Arsenal will play host to Everton at the Emirates at 3 o'clock. The Gunners 2-9 to claim the victory. Everton as big as 11-1, and it's 11-2 the draw. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Everton, the only plus probably he can take from this, other than the fact, of course, that they beat Wolves last time out, is that they'll be refreshed having had their game called off against Liverpool last weekend. But this looks like an almighty task against Arsenal.
It's an almighty task. They're refreshed. They're also going the right way. I mean, we think back to Everton at the start of the season when they couldn't keep, you know, clean sheets, conceding lots and lots of goals, taking early leads and then collapsing. They've actually kept now five clean sheets in their last eight Premier League games. So that 4-0 loss at United was a bit of an outlier. They're looking a lot more solid, a lot more like a Sean Dyche type team there. But I doubt whether they're going to have carry the attacking threat to really cause problems for Arsenal. In the past, you just said Everton and a Sean Dyche team would be causing issue from set pieces. I mean, Arsenal are now the set piece kings, aren't they? You know, offensively and defensively. But maybe they've lost a little bit of their attacking, you know, flair in the process. But Odegaard's back now. They're looking pretty strong in all areas. Very good 3-0 win at home to Monaco in the Champions League. The 1-1 draw at Fulham wasn't a bad effort when you consider they lost Calafiori and Gabriel. You know, two key defenders were out for that game. So not sure if they're going to be back, you know, for the weekend, but they kept a clean sheet against Monaco. I think they'll be nice and solid again here against Everton, and I think they'll get the job done. Going to go to boost the price, Arsenal and under 3.5 goals.
Milton, Dan's alluded to it there with the corners. Maybe the one thing that kind of plays into Everton's hands is that if you are going to combat Arsenal in terms of corner kicks and set pieces, a Sean Dyche team would probably be the one that you would say might be able to deal with them.
That's it, yeah. I mean, kind of, yeah, fighting fire with fire there. But I have to say, I'm on along similar lines as Dan with this one. I just think Arsenal have really clicked into gear since the November international break. Now, they've won their last three at home to nil, beating Forest and Manchester United in the league. And then, you know, that 3-0 against Monaco probably flattered the visitors, the scoreline there. Arsenal missed plenty of good chances as well. I mean, even the draw at Fulham, which was a setback, you know, they could have gone to within 4 points of Liverpool, which would have been really handy. They only allowed Fulham two shots at goal, so they were pretty unlucky there. And yeah, I can't see Everton troubling them too much. You know, Everton beat Wolves 4-0 last time out, as you mentioned. Two of the goals were scored by Wolves defender Craig Dawson. Everton hadn't scored in their previous four games, and I'm not expecting Arsenal to be quite as generous defensively as Wolves were.
Well, we mentioned Liverpool there, of course. Arsenal chasing them hard, and the Reds are in action at Anfield against Fulham, also at 3 o'clock. Liverpool 1-3 to claim the victory. It's 13-2 Fulham and 5-1 the draw. Milts, we'll start with you with this one. It's one defeat in 22 matches under Arne Slot so far for Liverpool this season. I mean, that in itself would be phenomenal anyway, but for a new manager, obviously, it's even more impressive. Fulham have shown, like you did say it again, at Arsenal and a couple of other occasions this season, who are unlucky to lose 3-2 at Man City earlier in the season, that they are capable of challenging even the best at times.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they've actually scored in their last 16 League and Cup games since that opening 1-0 defeat at Old Trafford. And I feel they can get on the score sheet here. You know, we've just seen as you mentioned, Liverpool had this extraordinary start under Slot, but you know, just a few signs of vulnerability, mainly away from home. You know, Slot was not impressed with them in the Champions League at Girona. I mean, admittedly, they'd won 5 out of 5 before then. There wasn't a great deal of pressure. But you just look at their last two away games in the league, 3-2 at Southampton, they weren't great. Then the 3-3 at Newcastle. Now, it is a different story at Anfield generally. I mean, just look at their last six games, they've beaten Chelsea, Brighton, Leverkusen, Aston Villa, Real Madrid and Manchester City, which is a pretty decent run. But I just think after that midweek trip, you know, maybe a little bit of vulnerability at the back. So Liverpool to win and both teams to score is the bet for me.
Can you make any case for Fulham, Dan, or is this going to be another Liverpool success, do you think?
It wouldn't completely shock me if Fulham, you know, maybe nicked a point. You know, I agree with James that there's been a few little signs of vulnerability from Liverpool. If you look at the 3-3 draw at Newcastle, they gave up 17 shots in that game. They weren't anything special in the win over Girona. I mean, last week I was quite prepared to take them on in the Merseyside derby, you know, at Everton until that was postponed. So I think they'll probably get over the line in this one. I mean, they're so strong at home, but Fulham, they don't have any worries going into these games. They tend to, like, you know, take a good attitude into, and they're not overawed. You know, had that, as was mentioned, single goal defeat 3-2 at Manchester City. Got the draw against Arsenal last weekend, so they're quite happy to take on a big gun. Just think they'll be just too strong, Liverpool. So to get a bit of value, I'm going to say Liverpool to win, and you know, narrowly. So Liverpool to win by one goal. I think that's about 3-1. Looks a decent price to me.
OK, well, let's move on to the third of the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday in alphabetical order as we head to St James's Park for Newcastle against Leicester. It's 3-10 the home side, 15-2 for the Foxes and 5-1 the draw. Dan, a little bit of pressure. We've said this a number of occasions on Eddie Howe at the moment. He's even done some interviews recently, which is a bit of a surprise. The Premier League manager suggesting that a lot of pressure was kind of put on him in terms of hopes and expectations this season. Are they going to be able to pick up a crucial 3 points here?
I think they will, yeah. I think there is a lot of pressure on Eddie Howe. I mean, I know the FFP has kind of prevented them, you know, from spending the kind of money that they would have wanted to. And I think he alluded to that in his interview that, you know, because of that, that these ideas that they were going to suddenly, you know, win the Premier League within a few years were completely unrealistic. So I agree with him on that. However, I don't think the expectations are for them to finish in the middle of the table. So there is a need for them to get going. They're generally strong at home. They've had a few issues. Some games, you know, they lost the surprise defeat at home to West Ham. But I think this is an ideal game for them to really attack and get stuck into Leicester early. And that's where I'm going to go here. With Newcastle, double results. So to be leading at half-time, winning at full-time at a shade of odds on. Leicester, had a, you know, a couple of decent results under Van Nistelrooy early on. The 3-1 went home to West Ham when they were, I think they were outshot 31-8 and won the game 3-1. And a late show against Brighton when they looked like they were heading for a comfortable defeat and got two late goals, got a 2-2 draw. I'm not convinced by Leicester, I have to say. Still think they're going to be in a relegation battle and I think they'll lose here at St James's Park.
Miltz, is this a honeymoon period for Van Nistelrooy or are we going to see this decent run of late continue?
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, the old saying about you'd rather have a lucky general than a good general. As Dan's mentioned, those first couple of results for Van Nistelrooy, you know, he's had a bit of good fortune there. But I think that, you know, that comeback against Brighton, you know, obviously they needed two late goals. But that was a real boost at kind of this early stage under the new manager. And I just think Newcastle are probably a bit too short in the betting. I'm still maybe a bit scarred by their performance against West Ham. But I think West Ham were about 5-1 outsiders and were good value for their 2-0 win at St James's Park. And then obviously Newcastle have conceded 7 goals in their last 2 games against Liverpool and Brentford. So I'm inclined to have a small interest on Leicester or draw in the double chance market. I mean, you know, Newcastle are giving up chances and Leicester actually have scored in all but one of their Premier League games this season, which is impressive for a promoted club. So, you know, factor in a bit of a new manager bounce as well. I think this could be an awkward one for Newcastle.
OK, well, we've had 3 pretty short-priced home favourites in the opening 3 games of the Premier League Saturday. We're going to turn our attentions now to probably a couple more even games, we suggest. Starting off at Molineux in a 3 o'clock clash, Wolves against Ipswich has big implications, of course, at the bottom end of the table. There was a lot of talk, Milts, that whoever lost the game between Wolves and West Ham, it may well be a sacking for either of those two managers. Well, Gary O'Neill survived, at least for the moment, but well, there's an awful lot of pressure on him going into this one.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Wolves have stuck with him purely because they haven't been able to nail down a replacement. So it's not the greatest vote of confidence. And yeah, you have to say, if they slip up at home to Ipswich, then it will surely be the end for O'Neill. I mean, both of these sides already under real pressure. There's a 4-point gap between them and safety already. You know, you don't want that to kind of turn into 7 or more. Having said that, I think it's going to be tense, but I also think there are going to be goals in this game, you know, purely because of the way that Wolves have set up this season. You know, they've got comfortably the worst defensive record in the division. But they've also scored 23 goals. That's as many as Aston Villa and Bournemouth, who are, you know, having very decent seasons themselves in the top 8. You know, Ipswich have struggled away from home, had a couple of 4-1 defeats, 4-3 at Brentford. But, you know, they'll see this as a winnable fixture as well. So I think, you know, neither team can afford to go into their shell for this one. I don't think either side has the personnel really to kind of grind out a low scoring win. So I'm going for over 3.5 goals. That's copped in 5 of Wolves' last 7. And I think if O'Neill's era does end, it could end with a bang rather than a whimper.
Just to let you know that the match odds are Wolves around about 10-11 to claim the victory. It's 14-5 Ipswich and 14-5 the draw as well. Dan, I just wonder the impact of recent results for Ipswich when it looks like they could be picking up, you know, a big point here or a big win there. It's gone against them. Now is the time for them really to have to step up.
Yeah, I mean, they have had similar situations. I mean, I'm thinking back to the, you know, they conceded late on, was a massive blow at home to Leicester, and then come out the week after and won at Tottenham. So they have, you know, I think they're kind of expecting to be, you know, pretty much where they are in the table. They're quite competitive. If you look at recent games, the last 7 games, they haven't lost any of them by more than 1 goal. And I think they'll be very competitive here at Wolves. I think it's one of them games. Sometimes you almost don't want to be at home. And Ipswich have been having their issues at home. And they had that against Bournemouth where they were leading for a long, long time and then conceded 2 late goals. You almost feel that they maybe were so desperate that almost wanted to win the game too much. And that's affected them. But the boot's on the other foot now. You know, Wolves are, they've got all the pressure on them to win the game at home. They had that great win at Fulham, the 4-1, and have been awful since. You know, conceded a lot of goals at home to Bournemouth. And, you know, lost that key game, as was mentioned, at West Ham when they were really poor, I thought, in the first half. And I mean, that price you mentioned, the shade of odds on for Wolves, I can't be having that. I think Ipswich are competitive. I think they've got every chance over 38 games of staying up, and I'm going to back them to get at least a point here at Wolves.
Okay, well, we'll turn our attentions now to the evening game in the Premier League on Saturday. And this looks like an intriguing clash between fifth and sixth as things stand. Nottingham Forest against Aston Villa is a 5:30 kickoff. Forest are 8-5 to collect the 3 points. It's 17-10 Villa and 12-5 the draw. As I say, Dan, intriguing, pretty evenly matched in terms of points and performances this season. How do you see this one going?
I'm going to go with Nottingham Forest, a shade of odds on the draw, no bet. I think I've been a little bit, I don't know, overly harsh on Forest. You know, a lot of the times, Warren, you've mentioned about, you know, how well they've started the season. And I've said that, you know, they're kind of coming back to nearer to where they should be. When I watched them against Manchester United, it wasn't just that they won the game. It was the manner that they won the game. They were very good on set pieces, counter-attacks. And also, when they got in front, they actually had the confidence to go and control large parts of the game. I was really impressed with them at Manchester United. I think they're going to be certainly top half and could be pushing towards a top eight finish. So, you know, that makes them home to Villa, who have had their issues quite often after these European games. Got a great 3-2 win, didn't they, away to Leipzig. Weren't so great last weekend when they got, you know, sneaked to 1-0 at home to Southampton. And as I just mentioned, they're not always, you know, fantastic after European games. Ollie Watkins, a bit of a doubt of an injury as well. He came off, didn't he, against Leipzig. So I think this is a good chance for Forest to get a win. Going to go with them on the draw, no bet.
Yeah, I mean, as Dan quite rightly points out, Miltz, they have had their issues, Villa, after European games, and that probably will have taken quite a lot out of them in midweek.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, went down to the last 5 minutes, didn't they? And they got a bit of fortune with a deflected winner. You know, Dan's mentioned he was impressed by Forest at United. I'm probably a little bit biased the other way because I saw them at Arsenal and they, you know, they didn't offer very much at all and you know, Arsenal were good value for that 3-0 win. So I've got reservations about both these sides. I think probably the draw is the way to go. Sit on the fence in a game like this. You know, they're level on points after 15 games of the season. You'd expect Villa over the course of the season to finish higher. But, you know, as we've mentioned, that tough midweek Champions League trip and Forest with home advantage probably levels things up a bit. You know, Forest's last home game, I thought they were a bit fortunate to beat Ipswich. They needed a Chris Wood penalty. So I'm not mad about them at the prices. But yeah, the draw looks the bet for me.
OK, well, that's Saturday complete. Let's look ahead now to Sunday. We've already, of course, looked at the Manchester derby. But prior to that, it is, I was going to say another derby encounter, not necessarily geographically, but these two teams clearly don't like each other. It's the Amex Stadium, the venue for Brighton against Crystal Palace at 2 o'clock. Brighton 17-20, the draw 14-5, and Palace 3-1. Miltz, we'll start with you with this one. Palace showing some signs of a bit of a recovery in the last few weeks and much better display against City.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they seem to raise their game against City. They've had some good results against them in recent seasons. I think probably they were flattered by that brilliant finish to last season. You know, they were playing a lot of teams without much to play for. You know, hammered Aston Villa on the final day, didn't they, when Villa had already secured Champions League qualification. So then you know, lost a couple of key players in the summer. So I think they were right to stick with Oliver Glasner despite that poor start. I mean, looking at this game, you know, traditionally it's a very tight one. 6 of the last 10 meetings have been 1-1. And I quite like the look of the draw and both teams to score again. You know, Brighton, I think, have been excellent this season, given that they've been hardest hit by injuries of nearly any club in the division. So they've made a really solid start. But they're still one of those sides I think you prefer to be backing at longer odds against kind of higher profile opponents. You know, we obviously saw them give up that 2-0 lead at Leicester. They couldn't close out the game against Southampton, which was worrying. And I think that, you know, these games against Palace always seem to be tight, competitive affairs. So So yeah, a score draw is the bet for me.
Dan, we've seen Fabian Hertzler, impress so far this season. This is his first taste of this rivalry. How do you see this one going?
I'm exactly the same bet as James, going to go with the draw. So I'm not sure either team will have what it takes to earn the not so local bragging rights, as you mentioned there, Warren. I just think that Brighton, I mean, that's a big blow to when you're 2-0 up in a game, and to concede two late goals against Leicester and not take all the points at home. I like Brighton, but they have had some issues against some lesser teams at home. Drew with Ipswich, drew with Wolves, drew with Southampton. That would kind of worry me. And from their point of view, the fact that Palace are probably playing as well as they have all season, I know they're not playing amazingly, but then no loss in four, draws against Aston Villa, Newcastle, Manchester City in there. The Eze's come back quite recently, so there's kind of you've got a reason for their improved form there as well. Ismaila Sarr rate has been starting to be more influential. So I agree with James. Tight game, draw overpriced.
We have the unusual sort of fixture list this week in terms of two games at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, and we'll start off with a match at Stamford Bridge where Chelsea take on Brentford. I mean, ordinarily, Dan, you would say that Chelsea, with that trip back from the Europa Conference League, I should say, on Thursday night, might well be an issue. But as we've said a couple of times already in the assist this season, it'll be a completely different team, and it's unlikely to have a bearing, you'd think, on this game.
No, I mean, they just used the competition to they've got probably the biggest squad, depth in the Premier League, and that, and understandably, they use these games to play their second string, if you like. So, unlike with Villa, it's nothing worth factoring in, really, in terms of being negative about Chelsea after a European game. I think they'll have what it takes to win this one. They're going to be on a massive high after that win over Spurs. I mean, looking at more ahead to the title, I think they've got a real chance. I mean, their next seven games are against teams outside the top seven, so they've got a fantastic opportunity to ratchet the pressure up on Liverpool and maybe leave a few of the teams, below them behind. I don't think this will be, an easy one for them. Brentford, they've conceded a lot of goals. They have got this sort of, in the tough games, they're normally very well organised and tough to break down. I'm thinking of the 2-1 loss at City, the 2-0 loss at Liverpool. They tend to be, quite well organised in these difficult away games. So, because of that, to boost the price, I'm going to say Chelsea to win and under 3.5 goals is the way to go.
Well, Chelsea are 3-1 on to claim the victory. It's 5-1 the draw and 13-2 Brentford. We've said it on a number of occasions, Mills, this season. Brentford are a much different team away from home than they are at home. Is this the kind of game where they might throw a spanner in the works?
I think they're capable of causing problems for Chelsea. Yeah, I mean, obviously, they've done most of their best work at home, helped by a really soft set of fixtures. But, they've been winning games pretty stylishly. And obviously, beating Newcastle 4-2 last time out was a great result. So I think they're capable of hurting Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea are really exceeded expectations under Enzo Maresca, but you'd say they're still a work in progress, aren't they? And I like the look of Brentford to score the first goal, 11-4. Obviously, they had that ridiculous period where they were just kind of scoring in the first minute of every game, which was incredible. But 13 goals in the first 30 minutes of matches this season. And you're right to say that Chelsea's epic journey to Kazakhstan shouldn't cause them too many problems. But I just think Brentford are capable of blasting out of the blocks at Stamford Bridge against a Chelsea side who were 2-0 down at Tottenham last weekend before coming back to win 4-3.
I'm half expecting Enzo Maresca not to turn up for some of these Conference League games as well, just to save his sleep ahead of the Premier League fixtures. We're talking, of course, before the clash between Rangers and Tottenham in the Europa League on Thursday, and that may well have a bit of an impact on Spurs' trip to the south coast. So they've gone north and then south in the space of a week. Saints 16-5 to claim the victory, 100-30 the draw, Tottenham 8-11. Miltz, we'll start with you with this one. Spurs, where do you go at the minute in terms of trying to predict what they're going to do next?
As an Arsenal fan, it's quite enjoyable. I'm sure Dan, with his Spurs loyalties, maybe not enjoying it so much. But yeah, you just look at those two results either side of the November internationals. They lose at home to Ipswich, who haven't won another game all season, and then go and win 4-0 at Manchester City. And then, you know, you're looking at that result at City, thinking surely they now kick on. And they've had three really poor results in the league since then. Having said that, I think this fixture looks ideal for them. Southampton aren't gonna sit back and try and frustrate them. And Tottenham to win and both teams to score is a tempting price, I think. You know, Saints have decided they're going to play this way. It's, you know, the results are speaking for themselves, really. I mean, they're a bit unfortunate in that 3-2 defeat to Liverpool at St Mary's. But then they got thumped 5-1 by Chelsea in their last home game. And yeah, I think despite Tottenham's injury problems at the back, they've got so much attacking talent. I think they can run out fairly easy winners here.
Before you give us your bet for this game, Dan, I just want your opinion in terms of where we're at with Ange Postecoglou at the moment, because there was a lot of talk following last weekend that maybe he was getting towards that point where the board were going to have to make a decision. Do we think that it's more integral in terms of his role with the club if he can keep in the sort of competitions, I'm thinking the Europa League and the EFL Cup and terms of silverware?
In a word, no. I think Daniel Levy, you know, he always looks at the league position. If you look at, you know, previous managers that have gone, Pochettino went when, you know, not that long after Spurs had got to the Champions League final when they were, I think it was either in October or November when they were kind of halfway up the table. You know, they're halfway up the table now in the middle of December. You know, Mourinho, again, you know, it was a league position that wasn't seen to be, you know, good, strong enough. The same with Conte. I think he's in extremely vulnerable position. Wouldn't have even totally shocked me if he'd have gone this week. You know, clearly he's been given a bit more time. But yeah, I think he could well be running out of road, because as a manager, when your team looks as disorganised as Spurs look at times, I'm looking at a lot of teams in the Premier League, certainly the big teams, you don't see that lack of organisation and the type of goals that Spurs give away. I know they keep saying, they play attacking football and that's what comes with the territory. But at the end of the day, you know, Spurs have spent a lot of money, you know, over £1 billion on the stadium. I don't think Levy's going to be happy just to be, you know, an entertainment factory and not, you know, at least qualifying for Europe. So,
in this theory then, Dan, if there's that much pressure on Postecoglou at the moment, does this become a must-win game for him, do you think, on Sunday?
I think so. More than the Rangers game, yes, because they're probably going to, in the Europa League, it's whether they're going to finish in the top eight or at least go, you know, through and play an extra knockout round. I don't think that is necessarily a massive game. I think this is a huge game, the Southampton one. And I'm going to go for Southampton or draw a double chance. I'm not convinced Spurs will win it. The squad is looking so threadbare. I mean, coming out of that Chelsea game, Van de Ven got injured, Romero got injured. The Bissouma got his fifth yellow card. He's suspended. Bentancur, obviously, his suspension carries on. So the midfield is light. You know, central defence, Ben Davies is still injured. So you're probably going to have Archie Gray at best playing at centre-back. You know, that's if he doesn't pick up something in the Rangers game. Further forward, Heung-Min Son doesn't look himself at the moment. There's so many issues. And that energy that you need to press Southampton, because as James said, they like to play out Southampton. How much energy are Spurs actually going to have after, you know, going to Rangers and playing there on the Thursday? So Southampton, for me, that, you know, we know how they're going to play. Their high energy, make mistakes, but gave Liverpool a really good game at home, you know, not that long ago, you know, lost 3-2. I think they'll get at least a point here against Spurs.
Who'd have thought that a couple of months ago when Spurs thumped West Ham at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium that it might be Postecoglou that goes before Lopetegui? But West Ham themselves have a big game on Monday evening when they travel to the Vitality Stadium to face Bournemouth. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. Bournemouth 8-11, the draw 3-1, and West Ham 7-2. Losing Mikel Antonio for what looks like a calendar year is going to be a big blow down for West Ham. But, you know, that win over Wolves, Lopetegui will hope that can kind of kickstart the season.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of times this season, I think I've gone for West Ham when I've not been, you know, I've struggled to find a reason and why. And I don't know. I think just looking at the prices here, I'm not comfortable with Bournemouth being odds on here. I don't think there'll be a great deal of difference between these two by the end of the season in terms of league positions. I know West Ham have had a choppy start. They're actually only 2 points behind Spurs, who we were just talking about, and a point behind Manchester United. So they're not, you know, a couple of teams, big teams there that have underperformed. West Ham are actually 9 points now above the relegation zone. So there's not too much to worry about looking over the shoulder. It's more about trying to push on now and get into that top half. Kudus has come back recently. You know, he looked a threat in the game against Wolves. Jarrod Bowen you got going forward. Somerville, I thought, looked really sharp in that game against Wolves as well. So there's plenty of threats there. I do like Bournemouth, but at the end of the day, they're only a few minutes away from losing Ipswich, you know, in their last game. And I just think that the prices, they're worth taking on. West Ham or draw, double chance.
What are you thinking here, Mills, in terms of Bournemouth, West Ham?
Yeah, I'm going the other way, actually. I certainly understand Dan's reservations about the price, but I think Bournemouth, I think there's still a bit of juice there. You know, you look at their last four home games that include wins over Arsenal, Manchester City and Tottenham, that only conceded one goal in those games. And you know, our colleague Simon Giles has written an excellent piece for this week's assist. And he reckons that the underlying stats suggest Bournemouth are a really good value for their kind of top eight status at the moment. You know, absolutely terrific out of possession under Iraola. And I think that could be the difference against a West Ham side who, you know, as Dan mentions, they've got some really talented attacking individuals, but they just still look a little bit flaky. You know, you wanted them to kick on after that impressive win at Newcastle. Absolutely outclassed by Arsenal, then lost at Leicester despite having a lot of chances. So I think this is going to be another tough trip for the Hammers.
OK, well, that is the Premier League ticked off this week, although we'll be going back to James's Bet Builder and Prop Shop a little bit later on in the show. But time now to turn our attentions to the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
OK, well, this week's match in focus in the EFL takes place in the Midlands. It is Coventry City against Hull City, an early kickoff at 12:30. In terms of the prices, it's Coventry 3-4, the draw 13-5, and Hull 15-4. 14th against 24th, Dan, in the Championship doesn't scream out match of the weekend. But, of course, there's a lot of significance on this in terms of two new managers. Frank Lampard, I think it's his third game in charge now of the Sky Blues. And Ruben Selles has joined Hull City this week. Firstly, what do you make of the appointment of Ruben Selles in terms of Hull, who find themselves, of course, bottom of the table?
Very good appointment. Done a great job. Very popular with Reading fans, you know, for what he did there under the, you know, really difficult circumstances at Reading with the owner then, you know, not putting any money in and you know, constantly losing players, having to build a very young side. Got them. I mean, they're not that. They're only just outside the League One playoff positions, which is a fantastic effort. I think they had points deduction last year, and he did well to keep them up. So I think it's a really good appointment for Hull. Yeah, there was an early signs there. I watched the game again. You know, I follow Watford a lot, so I watched the game on against Watford, and there was a lot of energy about, and they pressed, deservedly got in front in the second half, and then sort of didn't know how to hold on and win the game. Watford, you know, broke and got a late equaliser, but the performance from Hull was good. You know, after six straight defeats, there was a reaction there. And, I think they'll get something at Coventry as well. Not been such an instant reaction for Coventry under Lampard. I know that they got a win at Millwall. We were missing a lot of players for that game. And you know, the fallout from that game with Harris, you know, he's gone and, you know, announced that he's going to leave the club now. So maybe, you know, some issues there at Millwall contributed to that. The home game under Lampard, they only drew 2-2 at home to Cardiff. And midweek this week, they've lost 2-0 away to West Brom. So there hasn't been an immediate upturn in Coventry's fortune. So odds on. I mean, you mentioned the league positions. There's actually only 5 points between these teams. So I don't think there's a lot to choose between them. Yeah. And that whole bounce, I think, will carry on. I think they'll get at least a point.
It's interesting, as ever with the Championship, how tight it is. Coventry 10 points outside the top six as things stand, and 4 points outside the bottom three. So a big game in terms of both ends, really, of the Championship table. Coventry against Hull, as I say, is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Time now to get Dan's EFL selections for this week. Dan always gives us three picks, of course, to follow in the EFL. And Dan, who's the first selection this week?
Yeah, got three from League Two this week. Going to start off with Cheltenham, 15th place at home to Morecambe, who are second from bottom. Cheltenham, shade of odds on. I think that's perfectly reasonable. They were relegated last season and had a slow start, but they're improving under Mike Flynn. Made a lot of changes in the summer. Some of those players are now starting to show their worth. Only two losses in 13 in all competitions for Cheltenham. Got a 2-2 draw at Doncaster, who were third place last week, and fully deserved it. So they're playing to a good level now, Cheltenham. And Morecambe, they've been in the relegation zone most of the season. They had a really poor performance last week, lost 3-0 at home to Grimsby. Derek Adams described it as their worst performance of the season. So going to go with Cheltenham to carry on that misery for Morecambe in that game. Secondly, going to go with, just mentioned Doncaster, going to go with them. Drawn a bet to win away to Wimbledon. Bit of a promotion battle. Doncaster third, going to Wimbledon, who are six. But Wimbledon got a few injuries mounting at the moment, especially in midfield. James Ball, Callum Maycock, Jake Reeves, all out at the moment for them. They've brought in Romain Sawyers, who's out of contract, you know, to try and plug the gap. But he needs time to get up to speed. So the last home game, Wimbledon, they drew 2-2 at home to Newport. Not a great result. Donny, despite that result against Cheltenham, they're unbeaten in six at the moment. A very, very good side, I think, in League Two. Great chance of going up. And I think with the injuries Wimbledon had got, good chance of winning that game. Thirdly and finally, going to go with Grimsby. Another promotion battle, this one at home to Crewe. Grimsby in fifth, Crewe in fourth. Just Grimsby, I'm going to go just to win the game outright. Earlier in the season, Grimsby, they've been winning games and losing games. Their wins were kind of grinds. They were winning a lot of tight games. Very different last couple of games. They've got a lot of their players back from injury. 5-2 win at home to Harrogate. 3-0 win that I just mentioned away to Morecambe. So they're starting to really get going. Justin Abikwu up front, I think he's on loan from Coventry. He's been a real live wire for them. Was superb in the game against Morecambe. Did come off, so just check whether he's, you know, whether he's going to be free from injury or not. But still think they're good value at home to Crewe, who they've drawn their last three games, but they're going to be without Shiloh Tracy. I think it might be Shiloh Tracy. Key attacker for them. He's got five yellow cards, going to miss the game through suspension. So Grimsby, I think about 17-10, home advantage. Looks a good bet to me.
OK, well, Dan's EFL treble then. It is a League Two treble. Cheltenham, Doncaster draw, no bet, and Grimsby. And time now to turn our attentions to James Milton's bet builder. OK, James, so which game are we looking at in terms of the bet builder this week?
Yeah, going to West London for Chelsea against Brentford, which I'm confident, Warren, is going to yield plenty of entertainment. It was starting out with both teams to score as the first selection. Copped in 9 of Chelsea's last 10 league matches. You only had to wait 20 minutes for it to be a winning bet in their last two against Southampton and Tottenham. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I think Brentford are certainly capable of troubling Chelsea's defence. You know, Chelsea are the leading scorers in the Premier League, but Brentford are joint second with 31 goals this season. So I've got both teams to score. I'm then doubling up with over 3.5 goals as well. You know, Chelsea won 5-1 at Southampton, obviously had that 4-3 winner at Spurs last time out. And Brentford, as I mentioned, can contribute to the goal tally. You know, they've mainly been winning at home, but they've also scored in the last 5 away defeats at City, Tottenham, Manchester United, Fulham and Aston Villa. So they're capable of troubling any defence on the road. And then the final selection is Chelsea to receive the most cards. We mentioned Chelsea's enormous squad earlier in the show. And it's a good job they've got all that depth, because they're going to be picking up a few suspensions this season. You know, Fofana and Cucurella have already served bans. Pedro Neto's suspended this weekend. They've picked up 50 yellow cards in their first 15 league games of the season. And just to put that in context, Brentford in 18 league and cup games have had 25 bookings, plus Christian Norgaard's red card against Everton. So I'm expecting the Blues to dominate, probably the scoring, but also the yellow cards in this game. And that pays around 5-1, the bet builder there.
Unbelievable that we have 50 yellow cards so far, Chelsea, this season. It really is. We're going to turn our attentions now to James's prop shop. A couple of options for us this week. James, what have we got?
Yeah, looking at a couple of flying fullbacks this week, Warren. James Justin of Leicester to have one or more shots at Newcastle, I like the look of. Newcastle conceded 7 goals in their last 2 games against Liverpool and Brentford. And Leicester, have got a decent scoring record. And Justin, you know, has license to get forward, particularly away from home. And he had 2 attempts at goal in that draw at home to Brighton last time out. He's had 7 shots in his last 5 away games. And that includes the trip to Arsenal where he scored twice. So, yeah, I think the odds about him having at least one attempt at St James's Park are quite appealing there.
Fullback to pick.
Yeah, we're going for a glory price here. Daniel Munoz, who obviously opened the scoring for Crystal Palace against Manchester City last weekend. I think he's still a really nice each-way price of about 33-1 to open the scoring at Brighton. You know, we've mentioned that Brighton can be quite open. You know, been conceding goals against some of the weaker teams in the division. And Munoz also scored against Newcastle recently. Oliver Glasner said he should have had a hat-trick in that game, really. Missed a couple of great chances before scoring late on. Scored twice at the Copa America for Colombia in the summer against Paraguay and Brazil. So, you know, I think he's a really underrated attacking threat for Palace. So, yeah, having scored against Brazil, if he can score against Brighton as well, that will complete a fantastic 2024 for him.
It will do indeed. We're going to go on to the assist treble now. We always give you 3 picks, 1 from each of us, of course, for the weekend's action. Dan, we'll start with your selection for the treble.
Yeah, go with Cheltenham at home to Morecambe. I think it's a really solid bet. Unbeaten in 7 games at home now, Cheltenham, after they won 2-1 at home to League One Cambridge in the EFL Trophy second round. Morecambe having a right struggle at the moment. 3 wins in 19 in the league. I don't see them getting anything at Cheltenham.
And Milts, what's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going Middlesbrough to beat Millwall in the Championship. Dan's mentioned Millwall's problems and Neil Harris is set to step down. They lost 1-0 at home to Sheffield United on Wednesday. They scored just 7 goals in 8 away matches this term. And I think Harris is going to sign off with another defeat at Middlesbrough. Borough were beaten at Leeds in midweek. No shame in that. Before then, they'd won 4 of their previous 6 games, scoring 19 goals. And I think that difference in firepower between them and Millwall could prove decisive.
So we've had a Championship and we've had a League 2 tip for the assist treble. I'm going to go into League 1 and I fancy Huddersfield to beat Lincoln at around about 4-5. Those of you regular assist viewers will know that from the start of the season, I've thought that Huddersfield should be promoted, really. They've still got a strong enough squad to get back into the Championship. They're up to 4th now in League 1 after 4 straight wins. They've actually won 5 on the spin at the John Smith Stadium and they'll face a Lincoln team who are 8 points behind them in the table. And they're now 6 matches without a win in the league as well. So Huddersfield are my selection. So Cheltenham, Middlesbrough and Huddersfield are the assist treble. And we'll conclude this week's programme with the naps from Dan and James. And Dan, we'll start with your nap.
Yeah, going to go with Doncaster, draw no bet, away to Wimbledon in League 2. Doncaster not lost away since September. In that time, they've had wins away to Grimsby and away to Bradford, 2 teams that are looking to push for promotion. I think they'll have the edge over Wimbledon, who I mentioned earlier, injury hit and drew 2-2 at home to Newport in their last home game.
Emil, your nap for this weekend's action?
Yeah, I tipped over 3.5 goals in Wolves Ipswich earlier in the show. I'm being more cautious with the nap and going over 2.5 goals at Molineux. I just think this is a game that both sides have to go for maximum points. Wolves have scored 23 goals, which is respectable. They've got a couple of informed forwards, Cunha and Strand Larsen. And Ipswich have got Liam Delap, who's also done well this season. I think they're capable of causing problems for Wolves' defence. They've conceded 38 goals this season. But equally, the Tractor boys don't inspire me with great confidence at the back either. So I think it's going to be a tense game, but I think there should be plenty of goals.
Okay, my thanks to both James and Dan for their input this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. We always like to read your comments on the assist. And if you like golf, make sure that you join Steve Palmer each week on a Tuesday for the sweet spot and his golfing selections. We'll be back next Thursday, of course, with the latest episode of The Assist. In the meantime, please enjoy your football this weekend and remember to gamble responsibly.